Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time to talk music news with our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right, how are you?
I am more than prepared to carry
are
on
you?
The show.
Good.
I know right where I want to start.
Start.
Uh-oh.
I saw your list of things. I saw that Taylor Swift has another stalker. I did a quick search of Taylor Swift stalkers. We got the guy who swam to her home in Rhode Island. That was quite a while ago. You got Frank Andrew Hoover, who chased her around the country, going to concerts everywhere, and violated a restraining order. And you got a guy who said he was her husband, Timothy Sweet, and that guy threatened to kill anyone who came in between him and his wife. So who's this next guy?
Well, this is a guy. He's a gentleman from Colorado. Name is Julius Sandrock. He's from Bloomfield, Colorado. And he apparently showed up outside Taylor's Beverly Hills home. She was not there at the time, but wearing a mask, rubber gloves, and he had a knife, rope, and ammunition.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and he told police he had driven there to see her. He was arrested, of course, on suspicion of felony stalking. Suspicion, right? And police are continuing to investigate this. They also requested a restraining order. He apparently owns three handguns, did not have them with him, and is actually on probation in Colorado for firing a gun unlawfully.
Which brings us to question two. Does she have an unusually high number of stalkers, or is she just, I don't know, the news of her stalkers getting out, or?
It's interesting, and that's a good question. We don't know for sure. Obviously, the news about her stalkers does get out, whereas so do these other artists have stalkers, but the news just doesn't get out
right,
in quite the
Britney
same way.
Britney Spears or Mariah Carey or
yeah,
any
you,
of those
you
others?
Just don't know. I mean,
Demi Lovato?
Sure.
Right. Some people may bury it more than Taylor Swift does. She's so huge that it really shows. And I think she has kind of the 24/7 TMZ patrol on her. So people, that kind of press is always looking for Taylor Swift stuff 24/7. So it's more likely to turn up than, if it's a once or twice a week check on Mariah Carey world, let's say.
All right. Well, here, this seems to be an unusually high number of these this week. Mariah Carey, Prince, Flea from the Chili Peppers, and Kenny Jones
all publishing books.
All doing books.
Yeah, which is, there's money in that racket, as they say. There are a lot of, we've seen this in recent years, really in the last, I would say, 10. Just the popularization of the rock star or pop star memoir. Flea has announced his book will be called Acid for the Children, and that's going to come out September 25th. He, of course, has a colorful story, so, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of there. Mariah Carey has followed up her reveal about having bipolar 2 disorder with confirmation that she, too, is writing a memoir. They haven't announced any title or publication date for that yet. Prince, meanwhile, had started a memoir before he passed away 2 years ago, and now they've gone through all the legalese about it, and the people who were working with him on it have announced it's probably going to come out sometime before the end of the year. They really haven't said how far along he is, but apparently far enough along that they can do it, that they can finish this book for him and feel like it's going to be, authentic.
We had a news piece earlier this week that he had handwritten out about 50 pages, and they were thinking of just either as part of a bigger book or just publishing the 50 handwritten pages as like they were, like copying them.
Yeah, what I've seen is it looks like there was a little more than that done. So, the question just is how much and how much are they going to have to build on the story? And, the word was that he was writing it a little bit like Dylan did his Chronicles book. So not necessarily a linear standard memoir, but more of a stream of consciousness, chain of thought type of thing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. It may be that they just incorporate whatever it was that Prince wrote into a larger book that's not necessarily a memoir. And then how do you bill it? Is it really a memoir, or is it just a book that has some stuff that Prince wrote? And then Kenny Jones, you know, we know him from The Small Faces, The Faces, and The Who. He's got a book called Let the Good Times Roll, My Life in the Small Faces, The Faces, and The Who. And that's coming out May 31st.
How's Huey's hearing?
What?
Oh, see?
You know.
Yeah, I know.
Too soon.
That's a cheap joke. It's a cheap joke about a serious subject. Yeah, Huey Lewis, actually, it was last Friday, not, you know, shortly after we spoke last week when he came out and canceled all of his 2018 shows and revealed that he does have a hearing disorder, saying that the lower frequencies in his hearing distort so violently he can't find pitch, so he can't sing. He's getting treatment for it now. He's been to the Stanford University Ear Institute, the Mayo Clinic, and other places, and it's most likely going to be a slow return if it comes back at all.
Well, that's a bigger problem than a tour. That's his whole livelihood.
Well, that's exactly. I mean, you know, he's got to sing. But it's apparently easier to do it in the studio where there's all sorts of technology that can help you hear better or cut through some of that. But, yeah, if you can't find your pitch, you can't sing.
This is due to loud noises his whole life?
That certainly is a contributor, but it sounds like this is just also one of those disorders that may creep up on you, maybe for no apparent reason. Or it could be something hereditary. You know, there's not a lot is known about this particular disorder yet. You know, it's still being studied. So there's no definitive reason why he got it.
Well, when we talked to you last week, you were in Cleveland because it was time for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions. How did all that go last week?
It went well. It was very nice. It was kind of low-key, you know, as low-key as a big gala like that can be, but it was a little more chill than some of the other ones I've covered. The Bon Jovi segment, which opened the night, and that was interesting. The entire segment took 65 minutes between the speeches, the acceptances, the film review, and then the four songs that they performed. Howard Stern, who we talked about, did what I would say was maybe the best induction speech ever.
Ever? At the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
really? He just hit the right tone. He dug into Jan Wenner, you know, before supposedly having kept Bon Jovi out of the Rock Hall. And he was funny. He was self-deprecating, but he was funny about the band, but also very loving. And it was a really nice speech. It was a long one. It ran 14 minutes. John Bon Jovi's speech ran nearly 20. And then everybody in the band had something to say. And then they performed four songs. So those were nice moments. You know, the Cars, Booty Blues, the acceptance for Nina Simone by her brother was very heartfelt. And then Lauryn Hill and the Roots just killed it on the musical part, you know, singing a bunch of Nina Simone songs. The one blight on the night was Dire Straits really got hung out to dry. You know, without Mark Knopfler there, it almost felt like the Rock Hall gave up. There was nobody to induct them. So John Ilsley, the
bass. What?
Yeah, nobody.
To induct them. Nobody. This is like a funeral where nobody has a kind word to say.
It really
no, I'm
was.
Serious. I've been to those.
Yeah. It's something like that really was unacceptable. You know, you have a room full of musicians. You know, for that matter, you have a room full of music journalists. Somebody couldn't have gotten up there. So what they did was John Ilsley, the bass player and the guy who co-owns the name with Mark Knopfler, took it upon himself. He did the induction speech. Then the two other guys who were there spoke. And then John Ilsley came back and did an acceptance speech. But I felt really bad for those guys because they weren't going to perform because Knopfler wasn't there. And then to not have anybody induct you was, you
But
know.
Maybe that's what you get when you're a dysfunctional band. You get a dysfunctional induction into the Hall of Fame.
But wouldn't you almost...
Maybe, but what did these three guys do to deserve that?
Wouldn't you rather not bother with it at all? I mean, if you don't...
I think there were... Well, I got to hang a little bit the night before. They have a party at the museum and with John Ilsley and talk about it. And he voiced some of the frustrations he had been having dealing with the Rock Hall and, you know, not knowing what's going on and not really having been kept in the loop. And, you know, he felt, too, like once Knopfler decided not to go, you know, that was that. And, you know, nobody was putting a great deal of effort into taking care of Dire Straits.
How does the Hall of Fame, how do the organizers not have anyone to induct?
Well, that's it. I mean, and I understood that, you know, they did have some people who were lined up to do it. Supposedly Keith Urban was even going to cancel a concert to do it, but then once Knopfler, it was confirmed he wasn't going to come, nobody wanted to do it. But again,
all right, let's say they came to you because you were there for how long? You got there Thursday?
I got there Thursday.
You got there Thursday. So they come to you and they say, Gary, we're really in a tight spot here. We don't have anybody to say something nice about Dire Straits. Can you put together 3 minutes for us? Would you have done it?
Sure.
And you could have put together something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you could have made it sound like, wow, what a band, right?
Well, you don't need to work that hard to do that.
Right.
They were a great band.
And they couldn't find, see, I don't know who's to blame here, Dire Straits or the Hall, because
I don't think it's Dire Straits' fault. I mean, you know, the Rock Hall, the show producers, HBO or whoever, they're supposed to take care of the artists. And they're supposed to take care of the show. So, okay, Keith Urban, Neil Young say they can't do it. You got little Steven Van Zandt sitting in the crowd. You mean you can't, even if you write up something for him to read, you can't take care of that? You know, there's other musicians in the room.
That's pretty lame.
You know, maybe somebody from the Moody Blues would be willing to induct Dire Straits. It just felt like minimal or no effort was put in.
How about a writer from Detroit who could have done
anybody?
It?
Anybody. I mean, there were writers from New York.
Sure. The room was filled with people who probably could have done something decent.
Yeah. So that was a real shame. It didn't need to go like that.
Hey, Joe Perry says Aerosmith is planning a 50th tour, but Steven Tyler's out doing his solo stuff this summer.
Well, this year. Okay. And, you know, everybody thought Aerosmith was going to be out this year, and for whatever reasons, probably because it's Aerosmith, that didn't transpire, although Joe Perry said there might be some one-offs this year, but now they're looking at 2019 for a full-scale 50th anniversary tour. You know, and listen, Aerosmith is the kind of band that talks about a lot of things. Some of them transpire, some of them don't. Some of them transpire and then wind up, you know, disappearing in the middle of it. So, you know, who knows? Joe's doing some of his own dates, not that many right now. Steven, like you say, is going to be out with his solo band. The other guys you never hear from, the drummer's making coffee. Yeah. So,
and how many members of KISS have done commencement speeches so far?
Well, I think Gene Simmons has before.
I would expect.
I think he's done one, but, you know, the news comes that this year Paul Stanley is going to become Dr. Paul Stanley when he, you know, he'll get an honorary doctorate, or, you know, call him Dr. Love. He's going to do the commencement speech at Wesley College in Delaware on May 12th.
All right.
Be interesting to see what he has to say to these impressionable young minds.
He'll send them on their way
it would very well be.
He might tell them to shout it out loud.
how many song titles will he work into his commencement speech?
We could probably spend the next half hour, you know, writing a Paul Stanley commencement speech just from KISS song titles.
Get them all. Yeah.
All right, Gary, we're out of time.
All right. Well, listen, you guys have a great weekend.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Gary Graff, our music guy, every Friday morning. That's when you can catch him around here.